Hello and welcome back. My name is Luke and you're listening to another episode of the Next Stage podcast by Web Summit, taking you inside the minds of business and cultural leaders from around the world. It's Wednesday, and every Wednesday we're looking at some of the best and brightest minds that Web Summit has to offer. So sit back, relax, and listen in as we hear from the leading minds and industry giants from all over the planet.
I want to start with something really interesting that you just told me backstage, and that is that the reason that you started Mobike and that you're interested in attacking this problem is because you could grow faster doing a physical hardware product in China than an internet service because you wouldn't have to deal with the gatekeepers like Baidu and Tencent. Can you like talk me through that thinking a little bit and why you decided to do a bike company?
Yeah, I think. You know, really from our user acquisition perspective, the way we're doing our business is really we have the physical, which is a hardware bike on the street, and which potentially becomes our traffic advertisement on the street, right? So we could be able to acquire users without, you know, getting those users from online. So when we look at ourselves, we are more like acquiring users offline. Mm-hmm. And then transform those users to online platform and be able to, you know, provide services to them. So this is totally different from what either Tencent or Baidu doing today. They get the traffic from the offline to from their platform, which is from the online, and be able to sell those traffic to offline companies. Mm-hmm. So we're another way around, so which is totally different. Yeah.
And the result is that 18 months in, you have 200 million registered users, 8 million bikes, doing 30 trips a day. You're worth $3 billion. I mean, these are staggering numbers. And you've raised over $1 billion in investment. And that's the title of this talk. So why don't you tell me, how did you actually raise $1 billion? What was your full pitch, the vision that you sold to investors?
Yeah, I think there's no like shortcut for that. Just to be honest with you, when we started the company, the first 1.5 year, and no one actually believed in us. only a few, you know, small investors. They look at our model and they want to invest on us. So we started January 2015. So within before we officially launched our service in Shanghai in 2016 April, we actually struggling to get a B round investment.
Wow!
And also a lot of the suppliers they didn't believe us as well at the very beginning, because you know we talked to some of the bike sharing company before. They were like, no, we don't believe you're going to be successful. We tried this model. We thinking about this long time ago, and we don't think you guys gonna be you're gonna make it at the end. Not until we launch our services, we put the bicycle we designed by ourselves on the street, and people start to ride it, and also post on social media, and turns out it becomes a more lifestyle in the city, rather than just a boring bike sharing services. And then we kind of like getting in a stage where we grow really insane. Like our data, our trips like double every week, every other week.
Wow, doubling every week.
Yeah, so like our initial goal for like end of 2016, we only aimed for like 1 million trips. but at the end of that year, we are like three, four times over our target. So
by then, investors are knocking on your door begging
to
invest?
Yeah, and then that becomes like really crazy, like, I want to invest you. And you know, everyone tried to invest us by that back to like early 2017.
So by then, did you step back and think, okay, let's adjust this vision, let's think even bigger?
To be honest with you, when we start the company, our goal is really, we never changed our goal, even right now, start from the very beginning. So we strongly believe we're going to be our global company, because that's the strength of being a startup company in China, because we had the advantages of hardware manufacturing, everything, and we have the software technology. If we combine them together and provide better user experience, we could be a very successful global company. Mm-hmm. So we have the dream, we have the vision back to when we started a company.
Back when no one would believe you.
Yeah, no one believed us. So now we're in, you know, 180 cities all over the world, you know, outside of China. We have, you know, launched over, you know, 15 cities already. So even right now, we've been really thinking of you know, how we're going to continue to revolute and be able to provide a more disruptive, more revolutionary product to the customer. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, so the fast rise of bike sharing, of dockless bike sharing, which is what you and a lot of the other Chinese companies are doing, has not been without its critics. And I want to talk particularly about the business model. A recent headline from Fortune said, you know, Chinese bike sharing companies don't make economic sense. The criticisms are that you guys are not charging enough, that there's no real network effect, and that it's easy for competition to come in and, you know, basically running out of business. Can you speak to those? How do you plan to overcome those challenges?
I think it's true, or it's also it's also wrong. So managing maybe thousands of bicycles is easy, but be able to have a single platform, a single app to manage over 8 million bicycles, it's not that easy. So we have over 30, or maybe close to 50 terabytes data coming to our platform every day, and we leverage the data to come to use the AR technology. So everything behind it, the whole theory behind the bike sharing is as we draw two lines, right? As long as the scale of the bicycle, the number of bicycles grow, if you can use the technology to keep your operation cost. Mm-hmm. You know, to when the number of bicycles keep it, you know, flat or grow not as quick as number, not a linear to the number mm-hmm. of bicycles, you actually have, you know, more operation margin. So our goal is really to have, you know, reduce the main work from mm-hmm. the old compared to the old bike sharing scheme, because if you look at the old station-based bike sharing, we're talking about one man to maintain about less than 100 bicycles. But right now, we're talking about one man to maintain over 2,000 bicycles. So okay. This is different efficiency. This is the way we're going to...
And you're comparing this to the docked bicycles.
Yeah, compared to the docked bicycles.
Got it. And why is it more efficient?
Because one thing is every bicycle is connecting to the back end. Mm-hmm. So we know where the bicycle is, and even... you know, because we real-time monitor those bicycles healthy. If there's anything wrong with the bicycle, it will report the status back to the platform. Mm-hmm. So we know where they are, and we can precisely send people and connect those bicycles. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, the station-based, they're more like they don't connect to the bicycle. Mm-hmm. They don't connect to the back end. You don't know the status.
But that doesn't solve the barrier to entry problem. There are a lot of competitors out there.
Yeah, but that's another way is, right now, you can say because the technology is mature, right? Everybody know how we're doing, and easy for you to, okay, I can get a seat run and buy thousands of bicycles to start operate. I think it's okay, but if you look at the barriers, it's not just the, you know, launch the bicycle services. You see the you know, from a competition perspective, now we have 200 million users in China. And think about every year, there are over 100 million users, tourists going overseas. Mm-hmm. And they will go to, like, for example, we launched in Milan or Florence. Mm-hmm. So we have many Chinese tourists who already become our user and are going to Milan and Florence without downloading a new app, without registration. They can just use the same app and user mm-hmm. services in Milan. Mm-hmm. So that's break the boundary.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing the evidence of that network effect?
Yeah. And that's going to become a barrier for the other competitors. I know you can start from U.S., mm-hmm. but, you know, for example, you know, Chinese tourists, they go into U.S., mm-hmm. they don't need to download a new app, right? Mm-hmm. All they need to do is use the same mobile app and use the same services in D.C. right now. So same for, you know, the other way around. If you're a U.S. customer, U.S. Tourist, you're going to China, you actually can use the same app, use the same services of mobile in China as well.
So one problem that has arisen with the explosion of bike sharing is just bad bike behavior. There's debris, there are misplaced bikes, they're stolen, broken. Is this a matter of education, or do you think that it's necessary for regulators to step in? What's your take on solving that issue?
I to be honest with you, we all realize those challenges. And as a startup company, we don't just not to solve it. We try to use our test technology to solve it. But from our perspective, there's the three parties: the government, the users, and us. We have to have a shared ownership of these bike services. So mm-hmm. why saying that? For example, right now in China, we notice there's a lot of those issues and challenges. But the most important thing is, in the past 20 years, like big cities in China, they all planned for cars, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, if you go to substation, there's no parking lot for bike sharing, for bikes mm-hmm. previously. But if you look at one bike, the parking space that one car, you know, take over, that can park 10 bicycles. So, but the government just never planned for that. Mm-hmm. So right now, because the usage is really high, like every morning, there will be hundreds of bicycles riding by people from different locations to the subway or to the bus station. And if we don't have enough technology to detect and quickly redistribute those bicycles, that's going to cause a lot of troubles for either the government or the users. So right now what we're doing is really work with the government. One thing is open up our data to them to mm-hmm. see how we're going to replan the city for make it better for bike riding or bike parking. And secondly, we're looking at different technologies. See, you know, because most of the cities are, from a construction perspective, it's very mature. But how we leverage existing space and with more advanced technologies to find more space for bike parking.
Now, it sounds like this is a new method of entering a new market for you guys, because in theory you could just come to any city and drop off a bunch of bikes and say, okay, we're launched. But it sounds like you're now trying to work a lot more with local regulators to avoid these kinds of problems.
Yeah, yes, sure, especially for us to expand outside of China.
Yeah.
So we, you know, every country or every city before the launch will talk to the local government mm-hmm. and be able to have them to understand us, how we operate, and also work with the government to come with regulations of, you know, how we're going to educate users mm-hmm. to have better behaviors. So we don't rush into the cities. So we start with, take Manchester, for example. So when we launched the services that day, the mayor of Manchester came to our launch event. So he posted on his Twitter and Facebook, say, yeah, we're gonna embracing the innovative bike sharing services. And then, so we launched initially with a few hundred bicycles. After 2-3 months later, we showed the usage is pretty high. Mm-hmm. And the government really likes our services, and they ask us to put more bicycles in Manchester, but also ask us to expand to the cities outside of Manchester. Mm-hmm. So this has been like a typical example of how we work with the government, mm-hmm. Make sure we understand each other, make sure we have they have the regulations, they have the policies coming up to support us and be able to educate the customers before we launch the bicycle. Mm-hmm. But if you also for China, right now we are proactively working with the government to see we're gonna, you know, one, how we're gonna better educate the customer, and secondly, how we're gonna use the technology and offer to the government and let them to use the technology to regulate bad behaviors.
And how important is this expansion? Both in the, you know, you're expanding pretty aggressively in the U.S. and in Europe. How important is that for the overall company's success?
That's very important, because the reason, you know, we've been so hot in the capital side is because we are the quickest growth company. Mm-hmm. It's probably in the world. Keep expanding will be able to help us to keep our growth speed as the same. Mm-hmm. So So we're kind of the company where we'll have really a short plan only for 2-3 months, but we wanted to achieve something the other company will do in maybe half year or 12 months. So kind of crazy.
So what happens though if you get to the U.S. and suddenly you realize, oh, actually people don't like biking that much, or you know it's pretty suburban in most of the cities and it doesn't make sense for people to bike around?
I don't have that worry, to be honest with you, because the reason we can become so hot and used by so many people is it's really meet the customer needs, mm-hmm. right? One thing is as the last mile solution in the city, mm-hmm. right? It's definitely fill the gap for people to commute between their home or workplace to the subway or to the bus station. But it's also so convenient, all right? If you use it, you can now just, the next time you definitely will try it because, you know, it's just so convenient. You can ride anywhere you want and just park on the, you know, parking space. Just, you know, it saved your time. And also the most important thing, it's cheap.
Mm-hmm. And so there are so many competitors in this market, and it seems like a new one is launching every week in a different geography. And this often happens with a new explosive growth category. I'm just wondering, do you foresee a lot of consolidation happening? Will you be an acquirer?
Strategically, yes. We're looking at some of those, been working, especially outside of China, we're looking at different business model, right? It's
maybe, what about your biggest competitor inside of China? There's been reports that you guys are in talks with Ofo.
Yeah, I think that's not true. You know, okay. There definitely there's no, you know, kind of merger or acquisition stuff. You
no
know.
Talks happening there.
Yeah, yeah. So we're you know, if you look at mobile, we're you know, the two companies different. You know, talking about us and Right now in China, we're not just offering bike sharing services. We start looking at from a transportation perspective. So bikes only covers 1 to 5 kilometers category. Mm-hmm. And we're also looking at use the same business model, but offering services to cover 3 to 8, 8 to 15, 15 to 25. And in the next 3 months, you will be able to see, you know, a more innovative product from us really happening in China market in large scale to covering those category of different services.
Interesting. So I think I read a report that you guys were looking at electric bikes. I'm guessing that's part of it. Any other details or things that you can hints that you can share around what that might look like?
I don't have something to share at the moment, but definitely these are some the areas we want to look into that. But as I mentioned, you know, in the backstage, so any product we're looking at, so Mobike is going to bring a more innovative product, and the product is different from anything exists today, and you know we wanted to be more innovative, more disruptive.
Well, those are some very inspiring words. Congrats on all your success, and
okay,
thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to hear more about these topics firsthand, or you want to let us know what you want to hear, be sure to check us out on any of our social media accounts or visit websummit.com. That's websummit.com.